It is good to be with you this morning. Already been mentioned several times, our vacation Bible school, which was just completed, and we certainly, I believe, had a good one. It was Rise and Shine for Jesus. This morning, I have chosen to just sort of review what we studied this past week. There will be some additional thoughts other than what perhaps was made during the week, and some will not be made, but just generally, this is going to be a refresher of what we covered in vacation Bible school. So if you were here, it'll be a review. If you were not, you're not going to miss it. You're going to get to see what we studied this week. We talk about Rise and Shine for Jesus, and actually in the book that I had, the adult workbook, nowhere did it really use this passage, but I don't know of one that really fits any better than this particular passage to use as a theme for Rise and Shine. Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peg measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It is our mission as God's children to let our light shine in such a way that people look at us and not extol us and our virtues, but extol God and His glory. It is our purpose then to be like God and to bring glory to His name. We do that, we rise and shine for Jesus by being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 in the latter part or in that verse says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We are to be grateful, we are to be thankful. In Romans 1 and verse 18, Paul says there concerning the Gentiles that the wrath of God is revealed against heaven or from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And if you drop on down to verse 21, he says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened." These people were condemned because they knew God, but they were not thankful to God. They did not recognize Him as God. And so we are to be thankful because God is God. Being thankful to God gives us peace. When we think about all of the things that God has done for us, certainly we are to be thankful. And when we are grateful to Him, it gives us an inner peace. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so we are thankful to God because He has given us everything. Paul said on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, he said, "In Him, that is God, in Him we live and move and have our very being." You see, the reason we exist is because God made us. The reason that we continue to live is because God provides for us. Jesus said on one occasion that God provides the rain and the sun, both for the righteous and the unrighteous. God gives everybody everything that we have. And so we need to be thankful to God. I used an illustration. I don't know that this was in any of the other workbooks, but it was in the adult workbook. But I used an illustration in the auditorium class. There was a story told of an old man who was a real grouch. He was just grumpy all the time. He never was grateful for anything. And he was sitting at the table on a festive occasion. And his wife looked at him and said, "You need to be thankful." And he said, "I ain't got nothing to be thankful for." And his little grandkid looked at him and said, "Granddaddy," and he pointed to the turkey in the middle of the table. He said, "You can be thankful, you ain't the bird." So if you don't have anything else to be thankful for, just be thankful that you ain't the bird. You see, we all have something for which to be thankful. But not only do we need to be thankful to God, we need to be thankful to each other. Husbands, be thankful to your wife. It might really shock her bad But when she does something that's good, say thank you. If she cooks a good meal, say, I appreciate that. That was wonderful. Be thankful. Wives, be thankful to your husbands. That might come as a shock also sometimes. But we need to be thankful to our children, our parents, whoever it is, our friends, our co-workers. We need to learn to be thankful. We need to be grateful. And so we rise and shine for Jesus by being thankful. We rise and shine for Jesus by caring and by sharing. It is so easy for us to say to someone, I care about you. It's easy for us perhaps even to say to someone, I love you. But I have heard people say on more than one occasion when somebody said, I love you, and they said, show me, don't tell me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only, His special Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God loves and God cares, but God cares enough to do something about it. And so He shares His Son with us so that we might have eternal life. And we are to care because we are to be like God. And we are to share because we are to be like God. John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 through 13, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. When I read this passage of Scripture, what comes to my mind is filling up a glass or filling up a cup to the point that it just runs over and goes everywhere. And we as God's children are to allow God's Spirit to live in us and God's love to become so much a part of us that God's love just runs out and runs over everybody around me. And I can assure you that it will make a difference in my life. It will make a difference in the lives of those around me if I have that kind of love in my heart. And so we are to care and we are to share. We show our care and we share God's love by giving spiritual help. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, Jesus said that we are to go into all the world, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. He says there that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. If we really care about people, we need to try to reach them with Jesus Christ. We need to try to reach them with the gospel. And so it is our responsibility, if we really care, to share the gospel with those around us. In Galatians 6:1, Paul says that if a man be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so there are those who have become Christians, but who have, because of various reasons, and the reasons vary about as much as there are people, they have become unfaithful and they're not serving God as they should. And we are to go to them and we are to encourage them and we are to try to reach them and help them to be faithful and help them to serve the Lord and bring them back every time we have opportunity. We show our sharing and our caring when we share by giving physical help. Not only spiritual things, but physical things. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul says there not to be weary in well-doing. And then in verse 10, he says that we are to do good unto all men, and especially those of the household of faith as we have opportunity. And so we are to share and we are to care. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives the judgment scene. And there in that scene, the people are divided as sheep on one side and goats on the other. And the determining factor that Jesus gives on that occasion is, if you were willing to help those that were sick, if you were willing to help those that were in prison, those that were without clothes, you gave them clothes. When they were hungry and thirsty, you gave them food and water. Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it to these, you did it to me. And to those, He said, enter into the joys of my kingdom. But to those who had no compassion and those who did not care and those who did not share the blessings that God had given them, He said, inasmuch as you failed to do it to these, you failed to do it to me, and your place is eternal punishment. You see, we are to share and we are to care not only spiritual things, but physical things. We rise and shine for Jesus by being honest. In Romans 12 and verse 17, in the latter part of that verse, the New American Standard says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. King James there says, provide what is honest in the sight of all men. The idea is the same. That is, that we are to be people of integrity. We are to be people with an honest character so that when we say something or we do something, there is no deception, there is no guile. We are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, of whom it is said He uttered no threats when He was being put to death, and there was no guile or deceit found in His mouth. And so we are to be honest. We're to be like God, and God cannot lie. In Titus 1 and verse 2, it just simply says, God who cannot lie. We're told to follow the example of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the truth in John 14 and verse 16. And so we are to be honest. Just as God is honest, just as Jesus is honest, we are to be honest in everything, whatever it is. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 33 through 37, and again I'm not going to read all of this, but there Jesus says that we are not to swear at all. He says, don't swear by the temple or the altar or any of these things. But rather He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now what is He saying there? Jesus is saying what our modern day or older axiom said, and that is His word is His bond. Jesus is saying here that if you say yes, nobody questions what you've said because they know you and they know that you're going to be honest. You don't have to swear. You don't have to make affirmations. You don't have to prove it by anything. You just simply say it and everybody knows that you're honest. And as God's children, all of us should fit that way. This is exactly what we are to be. And so we care and we share. We're honest with those around us and we let our light shine by being thankful. And we are to be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. To be a peacemaker, we must first be at peace with God. There's no way that I can make peace with other people if I'm not really at peace with God. In Acts chapter 3, there Peter is preaching a sermon, and he says in verses 19 and 20, as he's nearing the conclusion, he says, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that He may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch when he was baptized by Philip? It says that he came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And it says, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Do you know why there's rejoicing? Because there is peace with God. And when I am at peace with God, then I can rejoice in the Lord always, as Paul says in Philippians. I can have that peace because I know that I'm right with God. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And if you look at these verses, they pretty much encompass what we've talked about. But notice what the next verse says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when we are at peace with God, then we can be at peace with ourselves, and then we can be at peace with those around us. Paul goes on and he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence of anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Paul says we need to think about these things, and if we do, we can have God's peace in our hearts and in our lives. And then he says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want to know how you can lay down your head at night and go to sleep without a concern in the world? It can only come when our heart, our mind, our life is right with God. When we are at peace with God, then we can be at peace with everyone. To be a peacemaker, then, we must first be at peace with God. We then can be at peace with ourselves, and we can be at peace with others around us. Paul says in Galatians 5, in verses 22 through 23, they're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. James tells us in James chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, he says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then verse 18 says, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If we have God's wisdom in us, if we have God's Spirit living in us, we are going to be people of peace. We're not going to be troublemakers. We're not going to be people that's always stirring something up, but rather we're going to be those who would bring peace. And so, if we're going to rise and shine for Jesus, we need to be thankful. We need to be caring and sharing people. We need to be honest in our very core, in our character. We need to be peacemakers. And we need to be overcoming temptation. All of us face temptation. There's not a single person who is not faced with temptations. Jesus told His disciples, Peter, James, and John, as He was going a distance to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told them in Mark 14 and verse 38, He said, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to pray that we overcome temptation. We need to meditate on God, so that we overcome temptation. In James 1, in verses 2 through 4, James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. The fact is, we are all going to be tempted, and we can allow these temptations, we can allow our trials that we face to make us stronger, or we can let them destroy us. But with God's help, we can overcome. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, and verses 12 and 13, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Then notice what he says. No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. You see, I'm not going to face anything that others have not faced. There are others who have had to face every single thing that any one of us will face. And then he says, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. You see, God knows my strengths and God knows my weaknesses. And God is in complete control, even control of Satan. And He will not allow Satan to tempt me beyond what I am able to withstand and what I am able to bear. But then He goes one step further and He says, but with the temptation, He will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. And so God is aware of every temptation that I have, and along with that temptation, He provides the way of escape. It is up to me to have the faith. It is up to me to study God's Word and to know His will. It is up to me to pray. It is up to me to allow God's Spirit to work in my heart and in my life. But God is faithful, and He will provide the way if I'm willing to take it. What about each one of us? We need to be thankful. We need to care, we need to share, we need to be honest, we need to be peacemakers, we need to overcome temptation. So often today when people are faced with trials, rather than turning to the Lord and rather than turning to fellow Christians, rather than becoming more faithful in our service to God, too often people turn away from God and then they wonder why they were not able to overcome. We must trust God and use the means which God has given us, one of which is our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to help each other. In fact, the Hebrew writer says that the reason we assemble together is so that we might be an encouragement to one another. And so we need to take advantage of that when we're faced with these trials. But the question is, what are we going to do with this? Bob mentioned in his prayer earlier in the service the fact that we have been through this. Bill Wayne mentioned it in his announcement. What are we going to do with it now? We've studied these lessons in our vacation Bible school. We have reviewed them this morning. And we can do one of two things. We can let these past weeks bring us closer to God, help us to be more like Him. We can use them to boost our enthusiasm and our service and our worship to Him. We can use them to help us as individuals. We can use them to help us as a church. And it is our choice what we're going to do with the things that we've studied. What are we going to do with them? We can do these things, or we can just sort of let it go and it's a week that's passed and we can remain just as we were and not do anything. And the choice is going to be up to each one of us what we're going to do with it. We've had an opportunity to grow. We've had an opportunity to be brought closer to God and closer to one another. What are we going to do with it? James 1, verses 21 and 25 through 25 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. What are we going to do? Are we going to listen to God's Word and be a doer and put it into practice? Or are we just going to let it go and do nothing? This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we need to be made right with God first. There is no peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. But if you believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith in Him, to turn away from your sin, you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. You can become a new person in Jesus Christ. And you can be at peace with God. And then you can begin to live for Him. This morning, if you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand.